I welcome you to today's episode of Restored Life Podcast with Stanley. Here we'll learn how to grow our knowledge of God's Word and to rest in His goodness. On this platform, we will share how you can act on the Word of God, walk in your inheritance, and enjoy all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. And you know you can listen to us on different podcasts: Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Casts, Breaker, Radio Public. And when you subscribe, you're able to get notifications regarding our podcasts. On today's episode, I'll be speaking on the communion table, and I will read from the book of Luke chapter 22, 19 to 20. The Bible says, "And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Hallelujah. The power of God is still very much available on the communion table today. And only those who acknowledge this truth enjoy the immense benefit. The communion should not be trivialized. Did you know that the body of Jesus wasn't given to you? It was given for you. In other words, it took your place in brokenness and in death. There was an exchange that took place wherein Jesus took what was ours and gave us what was his. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 tells us, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So you see how Jesus exchanged what was ours for his. And without a doubt, this exchange makes our lives so divine. You know, the ordinance of communion or the Lord's Supper is celebrated regularly in the body of Christ. We must know that this meal does not take the place of confessing Jesus as Lord. So only those who have made Jesus Lord in their lives should partake of this meal. Because just as the Last Supper in that upper room was very significant, the Lord's Supper today remains as significant, and it's a regular reminder of, you know, to us of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you know, Jesus did many things and never said we should do any of those in remembrance of him. Interestingly, it was only the communion that he said we should do in remembrance of him. And in Exodus, we are told of how Pharaoh will not let the Israelites go in defiance of God's directives through Moses, who did many mighty miracles in the sight of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. However, on that night, on that Passover night, the Israelites were instructed to bake unleavened bread and to kill a lamb. And you can tell what happened afterwards. Hallelujah. Deliverance came to these exiled slaves that night after 430 years of oppression, hard labor and untold hardship. After that meal, one meal, power changed hands in one night. The broken became mended. The wounded became healed. The despised became the delightsome. The slaves became free men. The weak became strong. The timid became so bold. You know, the poor, these guys were poor, but the poor left with so much wealth. They plundered the Egyptians and they got 430 years wages in one night. There was a record wealth transfer that took place in one night. So they left strong and were incredibly joyful. What a day it was for them. And as a result, God told them to remember that night for many years to come. And in Exodus chapter 12 verse 17, God instructed thus, "Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on that day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come." So when the Israelites celebrated the eating of the unleavened bread in observance of Passover, theologically, it was a type or shadow of what was to come. So just as God, through Moses, delivered the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt, and they were thereafter instructed to celebrate their deliverance by observing the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, so also, through Christ, we have been delivered from the slavery of sin and spiritual death. And God wants us to always remember our great deliverance by frequently partaking of the Holy Communion. And as long as this memorial continues, we are reminded of his love for us and our victory over the captivity of sin. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches us that the communion table contains two elements. There are two elements used in the Lord's Supper, and they are the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Some people use juice for it. These elements do not, you know, turn into the body and the blood of Jesus in literal sense. They are symbols. You know, the bread represents the scorched and the lacerated blood of Jesus, which was broken for us. And the cup represents the shed blood. So when they are received together, these two elements are both significant and powerful. Today, in certain quarters, it appears that during the communion, more attention is placed on the blood than on the, you know, than on the bread. I have also observed that, you know, people seem to treat the bread casually and treat the cup with great significance. And in some gatherings, you realize or you see that the bread is, you know, usually taken by laymen, while the clergy and a selected few have the privilege of taking the wine with their bread. But you know, the body of Jesus has as much significance as the blood, because his body had to be broken for his blood to be shed. Our ransom was paid by both the body and the blood of Jesus. When we observe in the book of John chapter 6 verse 51, Jesus was speaking. He announced, he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." You know, at this time, a 32-year-old rabbi was telling his disciples that this bread is not Moses' bread that their fathers ate in the desert, and while they were still in the desert, they all died. He said, "This is my flesh. This is my blood, not the blood of lamb. And anyone who eats this bread will live forever." What a word it was. On that day, at that table, and even today, when the communion is celebrated, every incredibly beautiful experience that took place at that night of Passover is repeated. Do you know why? It is because the communion bread is the living bread that came down from heaven, whose body was broken for our wholeness. And I announce to you, that bread is Jesus Christ himself. So when he gave himself for us, it was his divine life that he gave to us. That's why in our lives, all the provisions of his vicarious death, burial, and resurrections, you know, and resurrection have become a reality. His body and blood are a guarantee for everything that we could ever want in life. Isn't that why we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, that all things are ours? What a life is ours. Amen. So every time you receive the communion, you know you are receiving the life of Christ itself. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know, when he said that we should eat the communion in remembrance of him, I believe he wasn't saying that we should remember him like, you know, like people may have forgotten an old friend and had to remember him again. You know, I believe that what Jesus meant by that statement are, one, he wants us to be mindful of how his body was broken for our wholeness. He wants us to be mindful of how his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 14 says that he had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So when we remember him at the communion table, you know, we appropriate the forgiveness of our sins and all that his blood provides for us. When Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of him," I believe he was saying that when you do this in remembrance of me, we set forth the sacrifice, his sacrifice before God as a memorial. And by doing this, the benefits of his death are applied daily in our lives. I believe Jesus was saying that all the provisions of the New Testament are sealed in and guaranteed by his blood. And so when we receive his blood, we receive all that the New Testament provides. I believe Jesus Christ was saying that when we eat this meal, we forget our oppression. We forget bondage, we forget lack, we forget pains, we forget loneliness, that we are identical to Pharaoh's experience, the experience of the children of Israel under Pharaoh. Jesus was saying, remember me. Remember your deliverance. Remember your deliverer, for I am your deliverer. I am your savior. I am your healer. I am your original helper. I believe Jesus Christ was saying, remember all that I have done. Remember all that I have the capability of doing. So next time you are on the communion table, as you remember all that Jesus Christ means to us and all that he died for, what you are actually doing is that you are appropriating all the benefits of his death, of his burial, and of his resurrection. Hallelujah. So I challenge you, friend, look forward to the next communion. You can administer it to yourself, or you can take it together with all other believers. I will share more in this line on the communion table. And until I reach you next time, stay blessed. Amen.